The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. I know that all of you are thrilled by all the electioneering that's going on, the Democratic debates, the Republican rebuttals, so forth and so on, right? You can't get enough of it. Well, it's your fault. If you stopped registering as a Democrat or Republican, you wouldn't have to worry about any of it. You join my party. My party is the monarchist party. I'm a monarchist. And today is my feast day because we're celebrating Jesus Christ, King of the universe. He's the one I'll vote for, not these other people running around. But we have this feast, really, to remind us that it is Jesus Christ who is the King of the universe. He is our King. He is our ruler. He is our leader. And we don't vote for him. Rather, he kind of votes for us through the sacraments. But it's all about him. He is the foundation of the world. And yet we get pulled into the world and all the politics and everything. And we think this and that is going to get better. It's not. Without Jesus Christ, everything is failing. And yet again, we have this feast to remind us that it's all about Jesus. In fact, as Paul says, all creation is rooted in him. Everything was created through him, in him, and for him. So think of that. We were created for Jesus. We're not an accident. We are created for Jesus. And Jesus was literally of the kingly line of David. We know that. But, of course, the heavenly lineage is the most important one. But because of that connection that we have with Jesus through baptism, we too are part of the monarchy of Jesus Christ. So become a monarchist tomorrow, please. Change your registration. Wouldn't that look strange if you went in and said, "I want to be a monarchist"? People, then you can explain what it's all about. Because it is all about Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the foundation of the world. We are saved through his blood. You know, we're not saved through the Democratic Party. We're not saved through the Republican Party. We don't say, "I believe in America." No, we say, "I believe in one God." That's our creed. That is our everything. I mean, that is who we are. And we need to remember that because we can get pulled into the worldly things. And we do have to participate in the world. We have to be part of the public forum and to stand up and speak the truth. But we've always got to do it with Jesus Christ in mind and not to be afraid to talk about him, to say this is who Jesus is. If it doesn't connect with the Lord, if it's not something the Lord wants, then it's wrong, period. It's not up for debate. So we are called to be of the royal household of Jesus Christ. Our declaration is the creed, We believe in one God. Jesus Christ is our ruler, our redeemer. He's everything. So that's the good news that we're called to proclaim. And the feast was founded because of all the uprisings in Europe, the Russian Revolution, all that stuff that was seeming to take over the religious sphere so that people could say, oh, wait. It's all about Jesus. He's truly the king. He's the real king. All other ones are not pretend, but they're not fully rulers as Jesus is ruler. But we, because again, through baptism, we are royal people. We're anointed to be royalty. We share in the royal household of God. So the kingdom of heaven, paradise, the new Eden, that's our true homeland. And we need to be working with that goal in mind, not just for ourselves, but for other people. I like to think of this feast as the feast of two crowns. Two crowns. Here's the first one. This is what we usually think of, right? When we think of a crown of a king or a queen, right? And certainly Jesus deserves this and better, far better. But we also know, and it comes out in the reading from Luke, that the real crown of Jesus is this one. This is his crown, the crown of thorns. This is God's crown. And therefore, it's a crown that we must honor and follow in our lives. And as writers tell us, the throne of Jesus is not this beautiful upholstered chair, it's the cross. Crown of thorns, the cross as his throne. Totally contradictory when it comes to the world. It's countercultural. That's our faith. That's what we believe. That's what we say we believe. And the question is, are we living that belief? Are we willing to put aside pomp and circumstance to wear the crown of thorns as Jesus did? Do we look at the cross as something, well, that happened way back when, but it's not really in my life now? Or do we say, no, I'm called as a baptized disciple to carry the cross of Jesus Christ and to raise it high? Think of how silly that may seem. We're lifting up an instrument of torture and execution. And yet, that's where it all happened, salvation, because of the death of Jesus. And what do we say after the consecration? We say, we proclaim your death. Again, is that kind of silly? You know, here we are, we're proclaiming death, not life, we're proclaiming death. But of course, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, through whom salvation came into the world because of his death on the cross. I think we look at our faith so much, and many of us who have grown up with it, you know, it's kind of like second nature. We don't stop to think of how countercultural it really is. It's not about earthly splendor, about earthly power. It's not about grandeur, but it's rather about suffering in the name of Jesus, through whom, with whom, in whom, for whom we were created. And it's all about doing the will of God, doing the will of the Father, as did Jesus. So do we wear that crown during the week? When we go out of this church, do we consciously think, I'm wearing this crown, I'm carrying this cross, and I have to live by it, and I want to proclaim it? Do we bother to talk about Jesus as Lord and Savior, especially in all this electioneering? Say to someone, well, I'm not a Republican anymore, I'm not a Democrat anymore, but I'm a monarchist, and I'm voting for Jesus. He is the king of the whole universe. I mean, wouldn't that get people's attention? What a great segue it would be for evangelizing, helping people to see that, you know, it's not what you see in the papers, on the news media, but it's really something that's invisible, but also incarnate. It's incarnate through our continuing walk with the Lord. And the Lord, who is the King of the universe, is still here amongst us, with us, feeding us, giving us his word, so that we can faithfully carry the cross, faithfully wear the crown of thorns, and one day even use the cross as a stairway into heaven. So this feast is not some accident or some nice thing about Jesus on a throne, but it's rather about the reality of who he is, and he is king of the universe, but also he was a king who came to serve and to suffer. So those two things, service and suffer, we're called to do that too because we are of the royal household of Jesus. So I encourage you to think of how you are called to serve and just read the scriptures. It tells us many, many, many ways in which we're called to serve our brothers and sisters. And the one way I think of Jesus in doing that, which we will get to in Holy Week, is that he actually knelt down and washed the feet of his apostles. That was something a slave did, but that's the kind of king we worship. So how do we serve God, and how do we suffer? When suffering happens to us, or when we put ourselves in a position where we know suffering will come, do we panic, or do we say, well, this is the way I'm walking with the Lord. This is about the cross. This is about the King of the universe. This is about my Savior who has done everything for me and calls me to be faithful in following him. So service, suffering, those are just two of the many hallmarks of our God, of our Savior, of the King of the universe. So as always, we're called to not just know the story, but to live the story, to live the reality of what we're celebrating today, to say to other people that ultimately Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the foundation of all things, and therefore everything needs to focus on him. And we certainly need to do that in our lives and to make it known that he is our King. So again, as you go forth, think of the ways in which you are challenged to serve others, to suffer, and to always do in the name of Jesus, because he says, if you are faithful, one day you will be with me. You will be seated in my throne. That's what he says. So that we too will share in the universal cosmic kingdom that God is already established and is among us right now. But that's God's promise. But of course, it's up to us each and every day to say yes through the ways in which we suffer and we serve our brothers and sisters.